is absolutely dependent on what happens over the next 6 months via free agency and draft. And that is just, I think, a foregone conclusion. You can say, well, no kidding. Every GM, if they have, you know, 3 or 4 years of bad years, but this offseason is setting up the next 3+ years. At least it should, if all goes well. Or we're going to be sitting here in 2 or 3 years and saying, wow, it's time to blow the whole thing up.
And Patrick Mahomes will be 3 or 4 years older. If their dynasty is going to continue, or Dynasty 2 is going to start up, let's say, because you and I thought the initial dynasty ended, certainly if we didn't think after the Super Bowl, the way this season's gone, it feels like I got to at least take a stop set. Now, if they went back and won the Super Bowl next year, we'd have a different conversation, I understand. As safe as Brett Veach's job appears, this draft can get him fired. Because if you start going through right now and you really evaluate where he's made the most hay as a GM, it is not the first or the second round. He has good first and second round players. Willie Gay Jr. was a good second round player. Creed Humphrey is a good second round player. Nick Bolton is a good second round player. He has good first round players, McDuffie and Karlaftis. But more misses than hits in those rounds. I'm not saying he's a bad GM. I think he's done a good job with contracts, and he finds more talent rounds 4 through 7 than every GM in the league, maybe combined. I don't know. He's just good at it. And so for all the guys he's found that have worked in those rounds, and Brian Cook, right, another good second-round pick in the same year he screwed up in taking Sky Moore. But the last couple of years, Felix, bust, Rice, not a bust, certainly a good second-round pick. Worthy has 1,000 total yards in 2 seasons. That's not going great. Kingsley, at least a viable guard, but not what you were trying to do. We don't know about Simmons and Omar Norman Lott yet. Although Simmons looks to be a good hit. When you're picking 9 and it's been going wishy-washy, because that's what I would call it. Veach has not been missing all the time, but he's not been hitting all the time either, and we don't have to pretend that that's the case. You're picking 9 overall and then 40th, and you have these kind of picks at your disposal, it could get you fired if you screw it up pretty bad. I think if it's a total miss, it could get you fired.
Yeah, it's the most important draft that he's had, and before that it was post-Tampa. We all know that, the post-Tampa Super Bowl. Now this is the most important draft of his career. But I will also say, and I think you know this, you mentioned the hits and the misses, and he certainly has misses. He certainly has some hits.
4 through 7, you're going to be really impressed.
I would just say we can do that exercise with just about every GM in football. Yes, even the great Howie Roseman in Philadelphia, believe it or not.
He took Jalen Reagor a pick before he took Justin Jefferson 1 year.
Nobody, part of the nature of just how this game is played from a front office with the draft, yes, you were paid to get it right, but you're not batting 90%. You're not batting even 85% most GMs. No,
50-50. A good GM hits it 50-60%.
And the exciting part, I will say, and I'm with you that the consequence is real. Yes, if they whiff, there will be serious consequences for him and for this organization in 2+ years. But I will say he has never had an opportunity to draft at this level.
Yep.
Whenever they've traded up and drafted higher, like his highest pick prior to this was what? Trent McDuffie. And that one was
22.
And that one worked out pretty darn well. Other than that, he's been mainly drafting 28 to 32.
Yes.
And I still think that has to be part of the story we tell when we're evaluating his draft success or failure. So this year, when you're not having that as a reasoning anymore, when you're picking 9th, maybe they trade back. I don't know. But right now they're picking 9th and 40. You got to hit. And it's not even just a hit. One of those guys, and we're talking pick 9, not 40 necessarily, but I guess either one if it worked out. But
don't care which.
Got to find a franchise pillar. Has to. Mm-hmm. I'm not expecting him to go find 3 franchise. I would love for that to happen. I don't think it's realistic to think he's going to go find 3 guys that are getting automatically second contracts that are going to end up being star all pros. Like I would love that. That's a bit much. But at minimum, pick 9 and 40, it doesn't matter which pick it is. We all assume it would be 9. One of those guys has to be a guy we're talking about 7 years from now still being one of the mainstays of the franchise.
That's what's important, is that I'm not here to try to claim that, because like look at even like Noel Williams this year in the 3rd round. That looks like a probably end up going to be a pretty good pick, right? Yeah. And all the guys who have, like whether you liked what Pacheco did this year or not, or the other guys, he has found, and you know, how much money Jalen Watson's going to make in the 7th. I can go through his success stories.
Yeah.
At pick 9 or pick 40, just in this draft, my biggest complaint about Brett Veach is his inability to find star-level talent. It was actually, weirdly enough, the thing his predecessor was best at. He is better at every part of being a GM than John Dorsey, except finding star talent, and which was John Dorsey's absolute best quality.
I don't disagree, but also, again, that goes back. We have to tell the full story. John Dorsey wasn't picking 28 to 32 sure, every single year.
But he took Tyreek Hill in the fourth round. He took Chris Jones in the third. He took Travis Kelce in the third. He picked 10th, and he took he took Patrick Mahomes, and he found the star. And I understand Brett Veach's involvement in that, so I'm not going to dismiss that. But what I'm saying is the thing that Brett Veach has struggled at is finding elite talent at an elite position. Because I could argue that Creed Humphrey, by all NFL metric standards, is an elite talent.
Top tier position.
It's not Trent McDuffie.
Yeah. Corner is like, it's almost an elite position.
It's number three or four on my list of positional value easily.
Quarterback, defensive end.
Tackles, and then
corner. Wide receiver. And look, maybe he found it with Simmons. I'd say wide receiver before, but that's fine.
Yeah.
It's corner is probably four for my list. So it's not important, but like.
Simmons for sure. Yeah.
He might have done it with Simmons. Like. He might have done it with Simmons. Tackle is one of those positions, to Gold's point. It's one of the top three. No matter who's making this list, me or him. But we don't know that yet. And so maybe that story is softening. But specific, you know what positions we're talking about here? Wide receiver and defensive end. The two positions he's had the hardest time.
No question.
Drafting, and are two of the, even if you're ranking it out, four most important positions on an NFL field, and one of the three most important apps in quarterback, which is already on this team. Right? So of the three positions he has to draft every year that are of importance, two of them he has not found talent at consistently. He's found a slightly better than league average player in George Karlaftis, who's a perfectly fine player to draft, but not a star. And he's found a corner who is a star, but in the other two positions, they've struggled. At corner, they've found talent.
Yeah, and that's why this is such a big draft, because they're in a position where they are going to have to draft premium positions, whether we think pick nine is going to be wide receiver, defensive end, defensive tackle. I hope it's not running back. They need to address running back. I don't think they need to do it at ninth overall. But they're going to have an opportunity to draft a premium position, and he's going to have to hit on it. Yeah, and there's no denying that. There's a chance, though, also a year from now, we're looking at this past year's draft a hell of a lot differently than the way people are judging it as at present day. As in, you could have a full season of Josh Simmons, and we're saying, oh, that was a slam dunk pick, and the whole vibes are different about how we feel about his first round draft history as well. Someone on the text line saying McDuffie's not an elite talent, I just fundamentally disagree.
He's
an elite talent. We can argue about where he ranks as corner. To say he's not an elite talent is just, I'm sorry.
Crazy.
That's just wrong. Like, he's an elite talent.
You know how many teams would take Trent McDuffie in a heartbeat over their DBs? Like,
every team.
To say he's, the text says he's not an elite talent doesn't make a difference. He's just a solid player. Come on now.
If you did a 32 team draft and redrafted every corner available in the entire league, he'd go like fifth. Someone to take Patrick Surtain or a couple of other guys, he would go no lower than fifth. How about that?
Yeah, he might even go third.
He'd go no lower than fifth if there was a league. If every team had to put every corner they had on their entire roster into a draft,
I just think
I'm not trying to take away actual hits here for Brett.
Yeah, my
receiver and defensive end has been a problem
for sure. I just think if we played this game we don't have time to do it if you want, but like if we were to go through pick five random GMs, certainly of contenders. Or if we were doing this radio show in Baltimore, or we were doing this radio show in Buffalo, I bet you people think their GM sucks and misses all the time as well. Yeah. Like, you just don't hit at the rate that people are expecting you to hit. I'm in agreement that this year he has to hit at 9 and or 40, but this idea that like he's a poor drafter, I adamantly think is incorrect.
It's just not true. The thing is, and I will give him credit for this, Howie Roseman, who is considered to be, by most accounts, people's best GM in the league, he misses way less in round one and two, and misses way more rounds three through seven. So like, and then the truth is, if I could reverse that for Brett Veach, and you just told me he almost hit every time rounds one and two, and instead of finding these guys in four, five, six, and seven, I'd switch, because that's why guys like Devonta Smith and Landon Dickerson and Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith and Quinyon Mitchell and these guys he takes in the first and the second round who work.
Yeah, no, I hear. I'm just saying, like,
out.
They like
but
just
they
how
have
we
plenty
have
misses too. Jalen Rager was the one I mentioned, and there's others. Who
just like people will bring up Breland Speaks, who was a second rounder. I mean, in Philadelphia, do you remember the name Danny Watkins? Probably not. He was a first round pick and he was a bust. Right? They drafted him 23rd overall. I mean, there's just a lot. Jalen, you already brought up Rager. Jalen Rager.
It was a terrible pick.
My point is just that we can do this. Like,
I'm saying he has less misses in the first
and second. We can do this with every GM is all I'm saying. Like this idea, like, yeah, Felix was a complete whiff. That goes on his record. I can find picks like that for a lot of GMs is all I'm saying. Yeah. Especially if you're picking 28 to 32
and
every
way
year.
Way more whiffs for most of the GMs. The truth is, if you rank them up against the top five GMs in the league, everybody's universal consensus, we NFL, 100 people of NFL ilk, and they gave us the top five GMs. If you rank them against the other four guys, he is probably third or fourth in drafting first and second round guys, or fourth or fifth. But I guarantee he's first or second in drafting third and after. So it's a balance. But he's picking nine.
Yeah.
So, like, of all the times I need you not to screw up the first or second round pick, I'm sorry, it's this one. You're picking 9 and 40. So, like, for all the times you might have missed on those other ones, no whiff in here. Like, you got to be on it. This is way too important a pick for the rebalance of what the Chiefs have been roster-wise over the last couple of years. And we know it's really important. Like, he knows it's really important. It's not like a mystery. It's just especially important because of his history. My biggest fear, truthfully, is the only two positions I really want in the first round are either defensive line, interior, or edge, or wide receiver with pick number 9. Those have been categorically his worst positions to draft. Because right now he's taken one in the first and the second round in each of the last two drafts, and neither of those guys has emerged as a star yet either, or two of the last three drafts. Because Worthy, and I can explain away and excuse away part of Worthy's problems, no doubt. But the numbers are the numbers. He has spent 2 years as a wide receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs. His numbers are that equal to Mecole Hardman's. And Mecole Hardman just stabilized into being a 500 or 600-yard wide receiver who certainly is not an NFL bust and gets to stay on a roster, but is not worthy of a first-round pick. And so, like, and I'm not saying Worthy is yet. I don't think we know that story yet. I think year three is going to determine that for him.
I want to see a fully healthy season again for him.
But he's taking a lot of cracks at wide receiver, and he's taking a lot of cracks at defensive line. And that's what he's probably going to pick at 9. And I'm just like, please don't screw it up. And you're right. He's going to get a pick 20 spots higher than he has been.